Good morning. It's lovely to be with you. How are we this morning? Not bad. I'm fine, thank you very much. Not bad at all. Not bad at all. I'm fine. Arriving. That's the theme of this morning's service. Arriving. A friend of mine's gone to see his granddaughter for the first time. Way abroad in Vietnam. I know. And he's had quite a journey, really, to get there. He's had to get a visa and he's had to get the school to get him a special pass to go, and all sorts of things have happened. But he said that it took hours and hours and hours of flying to get there. But then he arrived, and it was a lovely feeling to actually arrive. He sent me a text saying that the arrival was quite strange because he was met by various men with guns, and they were pointing at him like this, it seems, and telling him to go there. They didn't go anywhere near him because he's from here and they could catch all sorts of him. So they were pointing at, and they were pointing at these suits, this blue suit that he had to wear, and this face covering. Well, he had to wear three face coverings, it seems, a mask and then another mask and then a plastic thing. And then they put him in this car that was like sealed, and he was driven to this hotel. And he's now in this hotel room for a week before he can actually be allowed out to see his family. So he's a bit bored at the moment. But he said that the arrival was amazing because after all that time. And it made me wonder, what have arrivals been like for you? You must have had loads of them during your lifetime. You must have had loads of times when you've either arrived and it's been sad, or you've arrived and it's been happy. I remember one journey that I went on with Elizabeth, and we went to Scotland. I can't remember when, but I can remember that it was really, really dangerous. It was snowy. It was horrible. It was misty and foggy. And we went over the Forth Road Bridge, and I couldn't see a thing. I remember I just couldn't see anything. It was just so dangerous. And I pulled over, and all these lorries were whizzing past, and I couldn't even see to know when it was safe to pull out. I just didn't know, but it certainly wasn't safe to be where I was either. So I said a prayer and had a listen and just pulled out, and everything was fine. But who knows? It was dangerous. And when we got to our hotel eventually, it was just so nice to pull into the car park and arrive and be safe. And arrivals are like that. And Helen's quite right. We spend the whole of our lives journeying, but we don't actually arrive during this lifetime. If we're Christians, we arrive when we arrive in heaven and continue with Jesus. Our scripture is from Luke 2, verses 1 to 7. Luke 2, 1 to 7. I couldn't believe it was the third candle. In my head, it was the second candle, but it's quite right. It is the third candle. Yeah, and next week, Douglas, is to Ronnie's Sunday, I think. Is that right? Four candles? Luke 2, 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. I was reading my Bible study notes, and it told a little story, and it talked about a text that somebody had got from a friend when he was about to get on a plane to travel away on his holidays. And the words that should have been texted were Godspeed, which we say to people, don't we? Godspeed as you go on your journey. But the phone didn't like that phrase, and if you're not familiar with autocorrect on smartphones, if you're not careful, you can send all sorts of funny messages. Quite interesting, really, to look on YouTube and see all the funny messages that have been sent. If you've ever had a message from Dorothy, Dorothy's excellent at doing this. You get all sorts of things that she didn't mean to send, and then you'll get another text saying, sorry, didn't mean to send that, meant to send this. And I think the most I've had is three, where she's sent a text, then auto-corrected it wrongly, then auto-corrected it wrongly again, and then sent me the right one. So it's quite funny. But this one, instead of Godspeed, what he actually received was God-speeding. So he sent one back saying, really? I'd love to be the police officer writing that ticket. But maybe that text is more accurate than we think, because God is speeding. He's speeding towards earth in the form of a little baby to show us the new way that God's love and grace can be in our lives and in our world. And we really haven't got a minute to spare. We need to hear God's message again, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And it can't arrive a moment too soon. We've been on quite a journey to get to the manger, and we're almost at our destination. Has anyone got GPS? Do you know what GPS is? You've got a lot of blank faces. It is a map on your phone. Yes, it's a map on your phone or on your car, or if you've got one of those little black things like I have, you put it up and it tells you where to go. And it stands for, anyone know what it stands for? Global Positioning System. Yes. GPS for us is God's positioning system, of course, but I'm going to hold that for another message another day. It's normally really good. I like my GPS. I've got a little black box and I put in it where I want to go and it takes me there. And it's like magic. And it very rarely goes wrong. The lady sometimes gets very annoyed with me, though. She gets very annoyed and says things like, turn round immediately, in a very stern voice. It's a bit scary. I might change it back to, there's a Scotsman on there as well that you can have. And he's really friendly, so I might change back to him. But we'll see. But the other week, we went to London. And we'd had lunch with Simon, and we were coming home. And I thought it would take me on the M25 and tootle home. All would be good. So I set the GPS and I followed it. And I was thinking, I don't recognise the way that we're going, but I don't know London, so I don't know. Eventually, we got to Euston Station. And I thought, this is odd. This is an odd way to get to the M25. And it wasn't taking me to the M25 at all. It took me right through the centre of London on a Sunday. It probably was a bit quicker, but it took me right through the centre of London. And all the way on this journey, there were signs saying, don't forget to pay the congestion charge. Don't forget to... So Elizabeth was looking it up on a phone while I was driving to see whether you needed to pay the congestion charge on a Sunday. And the good news is... You do, yes, you do, yes, yeah, they changed it, so you've got to pay it any day at all. So my GPS cost me £15 that I didn't think I was going to spend. But eventually, we got to our destination, and it was a lovely feeling to get through it all. No matter how relieved we are to be arriving at Christmas, we can't come close to matching how Joseph and Mary felt as the lights of Bethlehem flickered into view over the horizon. This couple had been on a long, arduous journey, and not just the pilgrim from Nazareth. When we begin the story in Advent, they were on fairly straightforward paths. Joseph was going to be a humble carpenter and a family man, and Mary was going to be his bride and the mother of their children. And then it all changed for both of them. Joseph was presented with these news that his fiancée was pregnant. Mary was presented with the news that she was going to be having the Son of God. And their whole lives changed. God set them on a new course, one which involved Mary becoming pregnant and having a baby while Joseph stood by her side and supported her. A stable in Bethlehem was not the destination they had planned. And if that wasn't enough, Luke tells us that Mary didn't even have the luxury of spending her last weeks nesting in her own home. The Romans ordered a census, which meant that Joseph had to travel from his current home in Nazareth to his original home in Bethlehem. One thing I'd never realised till this Christmas was that Joseph could have gone on his own. Did you know that? Had anyone, everyone else realised that and it was just me? No, I'd never realised it until I looked up a commentary and it said Joseph was the one who had to go back to his hometown. Mary didn't have to go with him. Isn't that strange? I wonder what that discussion was like between Joseph and Mary. That discussion about, you stay here and I'll go and do what I've got to do and then I'll come back. And Mary going, oh no, I'm going to be having the baby. I'm not leaving your side. I need to be with you. I need you around. Whatever the discussion was, it must have been amazing. But whatever the discussion was, the woman won. There's a surprise. And off she went with Joseph. I wonder how they first reacted when they heard about the census. Did Joseph ever think of defying Rome and not going? Was Joseph going to leave Mary and miss their baby's birth? Was Mary going to somehow make the long trip on the back of a donkey? Do you ever wonder about that at this time of year? As the year comes to a close, do we feel our soul being beckoned once again to kneel at the manger and behold the Christ child? But doesn't Bethlehem seem so far away? There's so many other things we either want to do, like Christmas parties, shopping for gifts, Christmas markets, families, or have to do, like Christmas parties, shopping for gifts, families. If we started a tally at the beginning of December, how many destinations have we already journeyed towards and arrived at? We go to a lot of places at Advent, but do we at any point journey towards Bethlehem? Do we take an intentional time to focus on the baby being born? Or do we throw the baby out with the Baileys every year? What is our destination this Advent? Thankfully, Mary and Joseph finally arrive at Bethlehem and look for a place to rest. And it's there, in Bethlehem, in an animal stable that baby Jesus is born. Mary wraps him in swaddling clothes and lays him in a manger. And that is the end. It's not, is it? No. The story isn't over. And then we have the shepherds who hear the birth announcement from the angels. And they go to see the Christ child. And that's the end. But it's not. Do you remember Mark Green? I don't know if you know the name Mark Green. If any of you have done the courses that we did, Faithfulness on the Frontline, Life on the Frontline, LICC courses, Mark Green was the one who basically wrote them. He did it with other people, but he did a lot of work. And he appeared in the videos as well. And LICC did a Christmas card this year. And on the Christmas card, he put a poem that he'd written, and it's called The Impossible. And I'm going to read it to you, and it should also magically appear on the screen behind me. If anyone really likes it, I've got a copy so I can run your copies off. If you don't want one, that's fine. I'll let you follow it. It's from the perspective of the shepherds. We are country folk. We know how things work. Chicks, roosters, hens, babies, women, men. But this was impossible. A pregnant virgin? A contradiction in terms. Surely some kind of joke. An angel in the room? God in the womb? A heavenly claim to cloak an earthly shame. But when you've seen the impossible, held the impossible in your arms, heard the impossible, gurgle, giggle, cry. Seen the impossible, open eyes, mouths, palms. When you've seen the impossible, nothing seems impossible anymore. Ash and hope may whoosh into flame. the shattered heart grow whole again. Guilt-leaden feet find their rhythm. All our sin be once and forever forgiven. And peace, whatever the day may bring, soar in our hearts like eagles on the wing. The impossible. And that's our God. Our God is the God of the impossible. The wise men followed the star to see the miracle that has taken the place in Bethlehem. And that's not the end. Just as Joseph and Mary are about to pack up and head back to Nazareth, an angel of the Lord recalculates their route and tells them to go to Egypt to avoid King Herod's wrath. I thought of my GPS again when I read that line, because it very often says recalculating. If they know, if my GPS knows there's a problem coming up, there's a roadblock or something's happened or there's been an accident, it will say recalculating and it will send me a different way. GPS isn't that new, is it really? God's been doing it for years and years and years, and God sent them a different way. And off they went, and they lived happily ever after in Egypt. No, they didn't. After Herod died, Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus finally return home to Nazareth to settle down for a calm, peaceful, uneventful life together. Or maybe not. For them, the journey was far from over. You see, one of the things we can learn from the well-known stories is that Jesus' birth caused people to travel. Mary and Joseph racked up some miles. The shepherds ditched their flocks to go to Bethlehem. The wise men come from the east to see the baby. Jesus' birth dislodges people from the comfortable, familiar, well-worn routes and sends them in new directions with a new destination. And that's what Christmas has always been intended to do. The birth of Christ is always about us going in a new destination. Will Jesus' birth this year cause us to travel? Not talking about going over the river or going to grandma's or going out for Christmas dinner. I'm talking about the kind of journeying that keeps our spirit awake and alive. It's so easy to settle into a spiritual rut, to cruise control through Christmas like this story is some kind of fairy tale. And that's the danger of Christmas, that the nativity becomes a fairy tale. And more as I watch things on television, I see that that's happened over the years, that instead of being a story of God's birth on earth, it's become a fairy tale. It's become some imaginary story that's told in all sorts of ways. And I love films like The Nativity, but when you watch it, you think, really? Was it really like that? The birth of Jesus can dislodge us from our places of comfort, send us to a faith-filled journey as we pursue a calling to serve in new ways, to show God's love to new people, to understand Scripture, or have a new relationship with God. But wait, I thought Christmas was the destination. Isn't this what the build-up's all about? Isn't this what we're anticipating during Advent? We're setting our sights on December the 25th, 2 weeks away. We're setting our sights on that, and then it'll be over. It'll be done. It'll be finished. It's smooth sailing after that. You see, the manger isn't our destination. Jesus' purpose on earth wasn't just to be born. Mary and Joseph hadn't seen anything yet. The baby is only the beginning of what God has planned for us. God is to be revealed in life-changing ways as the child is born at Christmas. But here's the thing. Will we be there to see it? Will we be at the manger because we think that's where the story ends? Or will we be at the manger because we know that's where the story begins? The manger is only the beginning. There is so much more to see. Our destination is not Bethlehem, but Golgotha. Jesus' destination is not the manger, it's the cross and beyond. And we are called to take that journey with him, to hear the stories about how he heals and teaches and forgives. We are called to travel to make our way from Nazareth to Galilee, to Caesarea Philippi and Bethany, from the upper room to the Mount of Olives. This Christmas is a call to follow Jesus more closely, and not just as a baby, but as he grows. And as we make that journey, we'll be reminded of a truth that we know, but sometimes forget to live out. The joy of this life, the blessings we are to experience, the lessons we will learn, the strength we will gain from perseverance, the challenges that will fortify us, are not to be found at our destination. They are to be found on the journey. If we put our blinkers on and only focus on arriving at the destination, we will miss the glorious blessings that are to be found along the way. Where are your eyes this morning? Are they on the destination, or are they on the journey that you take with God as you get there? If you're a Christian, we all know that we're going to be in heaven with God. But are our eyes focused on that, or are they focused on the destination? What we need to be doing on that journey as we follow what God wants us to do. Wouldn't it be great if life was like a GPS? When I've got my GPS on in the car, it has a little flag. And as I get nearer to my destination, the little line moves nearer and nearer to the little flag. And when I get there, it pings at me and it says, "You have arrived at your destination." Wouldn't it be lovely if life was like that? But it's not, because we don't know where that flag is. None of us know when we're going to arrive at our destination. All any of us know is that we are still on the journey. What we often find is what Mary and Joseph found. What looks like a destination, Bethlehem, Egypt, Nazareth, is really just a rest stop. Just a time for us to rest before God moves us on to the next piece of work that he wants us to do. We expect God will be a map for us showing exactly where to go and what to do. But in reality, maybe God is a compass pointing us in the right direction as we go along life. May this Christmas be a rest stop at the manger that then propels us forward, seeking new paths that God has for us. 2022 is going to be a new year for Roman Road Church. God has already started to work in and around this congregation, and the same thing can happen for us as we pay attention to God's guiding signal and allow God to work through our lives and put us on the right path. Go to the manger, make the trip, spend time marvelling at the birth of the Christ child, but it's not your destination. It's a stop on the journey. It's a rest stop as we prepare to move on with God to do even greater things for him. Amen.